Well, good morning. Praise God. This is our last unit, if you will, our last lesson in the unit of the hand of fellowship or hand of ministry. We're talking about fellowship this morning. That song, What a God, it just speaks to me on so many levels. I thank you, Ms. Charzetta, for sharing both your testimony and the words of that song. Did she sound like Maya Angelou reading that? That was like a poem. That was good. You know, those words have always been powerful, but when they're read like that with passion and truth, man, it just makes me a little more powerful. But that bridge, if the highest place I reach is at your feet, then I've done it all. You know, we're talking about fellowship today and things that are going on in the world recently and past. I think our biggest problem with the lack of fellowship is that we have an idea or we have a selfishness that says that we have to achieve more than what God's called us to achieve. We have to attain or strive to be more than who or what God has called us to be. Have to be the biggest, the baddest, the most rich, the most famous, the loudest, the most important, the prettiest. I have to be that guy, that girl, always. But really and truly, all God told us to do was to love him and love others. That's the only thing we need to attain or strive to be, is those who love God and love others. If in between you garner money, praise be to God because it belongs to him anyways. If in between you garner fame, praise be to God because he's the most famous. If in between you become the prettiest, the most handsome, the biggest, the strongest, praise God because he got you there. And all of that, our only goal in this life is to love God and love others and to watch out for our family. We talk about fellowship. The dictionary definition of fellowship is friendly association, especially with people who share one's interests. Friendly association, especially with people who share one's interests. So when we fellowship, we're getting together with people or we're having an association with people who share our interests. And if nothing else, maybe you love basketball, you love football, you love dance, you love swimming, you love anime, you love cartoons, you love video games, you love card, whatever it is, the interest we should all have in common is Jesus Christ. The interest we should all have in common, the goal we should all have in common is Christ and making him known. A fellowship is what we're going to talk about. Let's get a review for those. I know some new faces are here. Praise God. We're glad you're here at New Joy Fellowship. Hope you continue to be in fellowship with us and continue to commune with us, with God, and to hear the words and of the scripture and do life with us. You're definitely more than welcome always. Please, please, please keep coming back. Allow us to be part of your family, be part of ours. But the first one, the thumb, prayer. Prayer starts all things, ends all things, is our strongest finger, if you will, strongest ministry we have in our church. It's got to be amongst and in and touching every part of every ministry. The index finger of discipleship, we point people in the right direction. We move and we do and we are an example, if you will, of Christ to others. They may know Christ and make him known. Middle finger being worship, our closest finger to God, our largest and right in the middle of everything is worship, praising God, honoring God and his people. The ring finger, of course, it's evangelism. It is our invitation. It is our pledge, if you will, to others, our vows to others, to invite them to come and to be a part of who Jesus is and what he's done for them. So that pinky finger is fellowship. Fellowship. I'm going to read a scripture, and then I'm going to talk about some things that we think about when we think about fellowship. In the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 1, this is verses 3 through 7. It says this: we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. You know, when we think about fellowship, especially in the church world, what always happens at every single fellowship? Food. Who said it? Eat. I know that's right. There's food. When somebody says we're going to get together for a fellowship, there's going to be food. There's going to be eating. That seems to be the focal or the central part of fellowship. If you think about it, even with Jesus, when he's talking about inviting people and talking to people and sharing himself, he uses food analogies not to be funny, but this is who God is because he knows that's what we're going to relate to the most. Because the fact of the matter is, you got to eat, right? You have to eat. So you might as well get together and talk about Jesus while you're doing it. Jesus is saying, though, when he's talking about eating and feeding his sheep, he's not talking about physical food for your physical hunger. He's talking about spiritual food for your spiritual hunger and desire. When God says, I'm the bread of life, those who eat of this bread will be hungry no more, will thirst no more. He's not talking about the actual physical bread that he has. He's talking about the essence of who he is in his ministry. When he says to feed a sheep, yes, you go and you give people food. At John 3:16, we have a homeless ministry and food ministries and other ministries that do food. Yes, that is part of it. But he's talking about feeding his sheep. He's talking about taking care of those who are under his tutelage, which is everyone who's ever been born, ever. So as we talk about feeding and other likes, Jesus is talking about, of course, spiritual food, not necessarily physical food. But when I think about fellowship, I think about a good party. And I love a good party. I love to hang out amongst people and party and have a good time, you know, eating and fellowshipping and doing the things of parties, whether it's playing cards or dominoes or you're dancing to a song together, or you're singing to a song together, you're laughing, you're cutting up, you're doing life with one another. That's a good party. Recently, we started kind of a newer tradition in our family where the men get together on a Saturday before Father's Day, and we had a somewhat of a dinner party, if you will. We got together and we fellowshipped over a meal. We decided that probably should be a new tradition, but wise, don't worry, it won't be a mahogany every time, because that we saw that bill and we said, ooh, it's gonna be a new tradition, but not mahogany every time, because that tradition will make us all broke. But you're in line. But at this party, at this fellowship, if you will, things took place, and as we were fellowshipping and communing together, the Lord spoke to me about this message he wanted me to deliver about fellowship, what good fellowship, good party looks like. What are the elements? What are the aspects to a good fellowship? And it starts with this. Number one, every good party, no matter how big, how small, no matter what you're doing, there's always a great or many great conversations that take place. There's a lot of talking and listening, speaking to one another, about one another, lifting one another up and encouraging one another. That happens at most in all good parties. While we were at dinner the other night, we were just, you know, talking and having a good time, cutting up like we do. And I just kind of sat back for a minute, just enjoying being in the midst of the talking. We were joking about things. We were talking seriously about things. We were sharing our hearts over this meal. And I realized very quickly, this is what God talks about when he talks about fellowship. This is what true fellowship looks like. Us having this conversation, these conversations about life, about funny things, about world events. But most importantly, we shared our hearts about Jesus and how God has affected us as husbands and as fathers. Now, Ben, to think about, well, the body of Christ. How would the body of Christ, how would that translate to us as Christians? How should that look if we are having a good fellowship? And I thought about the hand of ministry, and I kept coming back to with the conversation, prayer. When there's good, intentional fellowship of the body, prayer is abundant and rampant through it. We are praying for each other. We're praying on behalf of one another. We're praying to God with one another. We're having these conversations, praying, listening to God, but also to each other. We're bringing our burdens, our hurts, our worries, our thoughts, our fears, and our desires to one another, sharing those and saying, hey, how can I be praying for you? How can I go on behalf? How can I stand in the gap for you with God and go with you and carry this with you? A good fellowship looks that way. Same way with a good party. A good party, if I'm having a party at my house, if I'm having a cookout, barbecue type thing, I want to hear laughter. I want to hear people talking, whether you're talking noise or just talking to each other. I want to hear it. That's what gives me energy. Matter of fact, this morning, coming in, just seeing all the faces and seeing everybody here and just hearing the chatter just brought a joy to my heart. I love to hear that back and forth, sharing. Even if you're just sharing a recipe, you're sharing. If you're just sharing talking noise, you're sharing. I love the sharing back and forth so much so that I couldn't even sit down. Matter of fact, I got in trouble. My father-in-law kept saying, sit down somewhere. I said, I'm trying. I really am trying. But I kept going back and forth, just hearing people. Then I heard the babies, and I heard, of course, my babies because they're loud. But I heard all this stuff going on. I couldn't sit down because I was so excited being in the house of the Lord with all this excitement and all this noise and all this chatter and talking, because I know that once we get in here, there's going to be noise, chatter, and talking to the Lord. Whether you want to or not, you're going to have to talk to the Lord at some point today, whether you want to or not, because he's here. He's here. The Holy Spirit's here. He's amongst us, and he's going to talk to you whether you want to talk to him or not. My prayer is that you would listen, and I, myself, would listen to the Lord this morning. But every good party has got to have that chatter, that talking. In Acts 2:42, it tells us, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. You know, a lot of times we get to that meal and we pray, and that's the last time we pray in our fellowship. That can't be. That can't be. We break bread, we pray. In the middle of it, somebody brings a burden or a worry or a something, we pray. When we leave each other, we pray. We pray. I'm bad about that. You know, we leave and just, all right, bye-bye, see you later. And it burdened my heart this morning, even, that whenever we leave each other, no matter where we're going, no matter what's happening, or the venue or the avenue, we pray. We pray and say, God, keep this person safe. Keep these people safe. Send them out with your love, your hedge of protection. Send them out with your mercy, your grace, and your power. Send them out and walk away. You know, when we fail to pray, we're saying to God, I got this. I don't need you. I figured it out. I know better than you. My power is all I need. I need your power no longer. The Holy Spirit, you can have it because I don't need him. That sounds harsh, but it's the truth. Because when we don't pray, we're not inviting God into our lives to help us, to guide us, to move us, and most importantly, give us his power, mercy, grace, and love. That's the only mercy, grace, and love that will get somebody to heaven. So prayer is very important. Talking, conversations, and fellowship is very, very important. Very, very important. Next thing. Every good party has a planner and a host / hostess. I do wedding DJs and DJs for weddings, excuse me, a lot. And I can tell you that the most successful weddings always have a coordinator. A man or a woman who is calling the shots, who is directing people, who is showing people who don't know any better sometimes the way that they ought to go. Maybe you don't know you're supposed to stand up when the bride comes down the aisle. The coordinator makes sure that happens. Maybe you don't know you're supposed to sit down afterwards. The coordinator is there to make sure that happens. Maybe you don't know what's etiquette as far as when you get to go in line for food. The coordinator makes sure that happens. Maybe me as a DJ, I don't know exactly when the bride and groom are coming out for the re-entrance. The coordinator makes sure that happens. You know, for our men's night out, I guess you call it. Our coordinator was a couple of people. It was Dad and RJ. Dad kind of sent a text asking if we could do XYZ. And it was because of RJ that we were able to do XYZ because he got a gift for graduation. Thank you, RJ. It was Dad who was telling us what time to be there, where to go, what to do, even how to dress. He told us all the way down all the details for said party. And him calling those shots and being that helped us to be in the right mind and the right state and even in the right physical look for dinner and for this party. Even during dinner, there was each of us at one point kind of taking the reins and guiding either the conversation or what we were going to do next, what we're going to order next, even down to somebody trying to get us to go bowling at 10:30 at night. We all respectfully declined because it was 10:30 at night and we had wives at home with children that have been waiting for us to get home. So we respectfully declined and said, hey, we'll get together tomorrow. But true fellowship happens when there's somebody there to move, usher, and direct what's happening, what's going on. In Luke 14:27 says this, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. It is the burden of the party planner, host, or hostess to, for lack of a better term, carry the party. You are moving things along. It is your burden to make sure the party goes well. It is your burden to make sure that what's needing to be accomplished at the party is being accomplished. Now, the thing about this is, and the beautiful thing about the body of Christ is, it's all of our burden to make sure that the quote-unquote party goes well. It's all of our burden, to direct people. Hey, this is where we do this. Hey, this is what he's talking about when he says, open up to Luke 14, chapter 27, or chapter 14, verse 27. This is what the pastor is doing right now up there. He's praying. He's talking to God. There's people in here who might not know what that is. And if you're with said person who doesn't know what that is, it is your job to say, hey, this is what's going on. Not because you want to make them feel less or feel silly, or but you're trying to educate them on what's happening. Does that mean that they're going to absolutely get it 100%? No. But it does mean that somebody is guiding them. Somebody is showing them, at least showing them the way. When fellowship happens, especially at New Joy Fellowship, people, when they come in, us as disciples should be those receiving people who are coming in. Hey, good morning. Glad you're here. Nice to meet you. Glad you're at New Joy Fellowship. Here's where we do worship at. Here's the bathroom. Here's a nursery if you have kids that are nursery age. Oh, we have a children's program. We have a youth program. We have women and men's programs. We have a praise team. All these things should be made available to all the people who come to that door. Say, hey, this is what we got. Does that mean that everybody's going to do everything? Absolutely not. Some of y'all can't sing. And that's okay. I'm going to let you know there's a praise team up here. I didn't say no names. But if you feel attacked and that shoe fits, lace it up and double knot it because and walk in your truth. And just know, if you can't sing, the praise team's not for you. But I will tell you, we do have a praise team. So you'll know that's here. Same in the same breath. If you have kids that are 15, don't put them in the nursery. They need to be out here with the rest of the youth. And on a note after that, youth. See somebody here, youth age? Hello, my name is so-and-so. We have a youth group here. We meet on Wednesdays. We meet on Thursdays. We do this on Sunday mornings. We have a praise dance team, and we do the praise team sometimes, and we go on outings. We'd love for you to join us. It's that simple. If they say no, God bless you, but at least you offer the invitation. That's your job as a disciple. Hey, this is New Joy Fellowship. We meet at this time on Sundays. We have a call in on Wednesdays. Women's time is this time. Men's time is this time. That's our job. Disciples, if we don't tell people, how are they going to know? If we don't guide people, where are they going to go? Where are they going to go? It's our job as disciples to move and shake and do and guide people, point people, as we talked about on Discipleship Week, toward the throne. That's our job. All right. We've talked about the conversation and the party planner. Every good party has music, dancing, celebrating, whatever you want to call it. Every good party has this. Every good party has this. I'm glad that Jocelyn read Psalm 100 this morning, because Psalm 100 verse 2 says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. When we fellowship together, there should be joyful songs. This does not mean that there has to be music every time. There can be. But the joyful song of worship that I heard on Men's Night Out was laughter. We laughed a lot, a whole lot. Sometimes probably too loud and where we shouldn't have, but you know what? What are they going to do, kick us out? No, they want our money. Of course they're not going to kick us out. But we did. We were ourselves. We were cutting up. We were laughing at the expense of others sometimes. So sorry about that. Darius, you'll find $100 somewhere, I promise. We laughed and we laughed and we laughed and we talked and we shared stories. And that was our worship because we were giving honor to God the entire time. At the end of every story, every laughter, I heard somebody say, if it wasn't me or somebody else, praise God. Praise God to it. Praise God for it. Whether it was sharing a story about my Tasmanian devil son tearing something up, or Darius's Tasmanian devil son tearing something up, RJ's soon-to-be daughter who's going to have her wrapped around his little her little finger, or if his dad is talking about us and how goofy and silly we are. Every time afterwards, after laughter, it was praise God, praise God. And that was worship. We didn't close our eyes. We didn't raise our hands. We didn't jump up and down and run around the building. We thought about it. But the fact of the matter is we didn't, but we still worship God in that time and in that moment. If people come in here to New Joy Fellowship, it should be worship the entire time. I'm not talking about music. I'm not talking about raising. I'm talking about giving honor to God, glory to God, and joy in being in the presence of God the entire time. Whether we're here listening to a message, we're singing, we're outside talking, cutting it up, we're having a meal, whatever we're doing should be worship. And right in the center of that should be Jesus every single time. Every single time. It's got to be. Next. Every good party, and it should start with this, an invitation. Hey, would you come to XYZ with me? Hey, would you come to XYZ for me? Because the fact of the matter is, you don't invite somebody to a party that you're not going to go to. Because if you do that, that sounds fishy. That sounds weird, like a setup. So if you invite somebody to church and you're not coming here, they're going to be like, why am I going there if you're not going there? That's weird. You're saying, oh, yeah, it's great. New Joy Fellowship's awesome. There's good people there. You'll get loved. You'll experience Jesus. And sometimes they have food. It's awesome. They have child care and they have children's ministry, youth ministry, women's ministry, men's ministry, all kind of stuff. A praise team that you might be able to sing on if you could sing. All this stuff. Oh, so you go? Well, no. I don't go there. Matter of fact, I don't go to church at all. But I'm saying you should go, though. Now, you tell me how apt you're going to be to go to New Joy Fellowship if somebody were to present it that way. Whereas when Pop said, hey, would you join me for dinner on X night at X time? Would you join me? First of all, I thought to myself, well, duh. Because if you're inviting me, that means that you're probably going to pay for it. So, yes, I'm coming. And then I knew he was going to be there. So, of course, I want to hang out with my father-in-law and the rest of the guys. So, that's great. It's good company. And then he told me the location where we're going. I said, oh, I'm definitely coming now if you're paying for it. But if he had said, go there, I'm not going to be there. But you guys go ahead and go have a good time. Because I know my father-in-law, and he plays too much, I would have said, this is a setup. We're going to get there. They're going to bring this bill, be like, all right. And we're going to look around like, what you mean, all right? Well, here it is. You guys let us know how we're going to take care of that. Yeah. Once again, if he's not going, why would he invite us to go on behalf, right? Likewise at church, if you're not going to be here, I'm not saying don't invite somebody, but it's going to be a lot harder for somebody to come if they're like, well, why aren't you going? What are we missing? What's the catch? What's the small print that you're not telling us about of why you don't go to New Joy Fellowship? You're inviting me saying I should go, but you don't go, so why should I? But all that even so, with the invitation, it says this in Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is closer to coming back today than he was yesterday. Jesus is going to be closer to coming back tomorrow than he is today. So the more and more days we get into it, the closer and closer we are to Jesus coming back. And we cannot forsake gathering together and spurring one another on, encouraging each other in the Spirit of God. We cannot forsake it. And we talk about fellowship. You know, I keep talking about food because I love it, but also it just relates to so many things in the Bible. And I think God did that on purpose once again, because we always have to eat. One of the big things that happened two Father's Days years ago, you know what I meant. Anyways, I got a barbecue grill combination for Father's Day. Wife got me, it is a gas grill, charcoal grill, and smoker combination. It's a bad boy, I'm not gonna lie to you. It is. And because of that, I got into this hobby, if you will, a hobby that everybody benefits from, into smoking meat and barbecuing and charcoal and grilling. And I love it. Oh, yeah, I know, that's right. Come on now. Come on, somebody. Somebody's getting excited. I like it. That's good, because it's coming to the end point. It's perfect. But with charcoal, and it's something that I've shared before, but I want to share it again, because every time I think about it, it's like, God is just so good. What a God. He would use these things that we use all the time just as illustrations and points. He pointed it out to me. You know, when you barbecue, if you didn't know, you get the charcoals, you huddle them up together. And if you need fluid, you put a lot of fluid upon them. If you don't, you light a match. It ignites. They go up in flames a little bit. The flame dies down. And as they are cooked and heated up, they're able to be used to cook upon. And as they heat up, you spread them out a little bit from being bundled up. You can heat the entire grate, if you will, of the barbecue pit. Now, mind you, they are spread out, but they're still grouped together because they have to cook together to cook the meat. Issue is, let's say one falls out of the grill, out of the square, out of the body or community, if you will, of charcoal. That one charcoal stays hot for a little bit. You could cook a little bit of them, maybe cook like a little hot dog on it, maybe a half a chicken wing, something on it. But then it dies out, fizzles out, and it gets cold to where you can't cook on it at all. An issue with a heated up charcoal that's beginning to ash, you can't use it for anything. You can't use it to mark like you would be able to do a non-used or non-touched charcoal. Once it's in that position, it's almost useless, wasteful. Unless you take cold charcoal and put it back into the middle of the hot charcoals. And when you stir that up, it gets hot again. You can use it to cook again. The issue is, some of us are cold charcoals, refusing to get back into community with the hot coals. Because we say, those hot coals are going to look at me and say, hey, we're all gray and ashed up and able to cook stuff. And you're just barely even ashed. You don't look good. You're barely being touched by the Lord, by the fire of God. So therefore, you don't look like us. When you get there, you can come and jump in with us. But the issue is, if you do that, that cold coal never gets there. It never gets any warmer or hotter because there's no heat source. Instead, those hot coals and say, hey, I see you. I see you're hurting. I see you've gotten cold. Get in here. Come on. Let's love on you. Put an arm around you. Hug you. Encourage you. Stir you up a little bit. You'll get hot again. You'll be able to be used. I promise you will. That's what fellowship looks like. That's fellowship. Sitting down eating? Yes, I get it. That's fellowship. Getting together and having a good time and laughing, cutting up is all fellowship. A fellowship is making sure that nobody, no coal, goes out and gets cold. If they do, we pick them up. Say, hey, get back in here. Come back in here. We love you. Get back in here. We're going to stir you up. We have to bump you around a little bit, too. I mean, if you're, we have to drag you kicking and screaming. We're going to pull you in. We're going to shake you up a little bit. Then once you come to, we're going to set you down gently. We're going to encourage you. And you're going to get warm. Now, hot coals, it's not your job to say, you nasty, dirty coal, get in here and get cleaned up. That's not the way it works. That's not an invitation. That's not how you would invite somebody to your house. Hey, you nasty, you dirty, but come in here, we'll get you a shower or something. Dang, stank, come on. No. Say, hey, I see you. Guess what I have inside for you? I have a warm meal. I have a shower you can use. I have some clean clothes you can have if you want them. Even if you don't want all that, just come inside. Let's work on it slowly but surely. Come inside and we'll figure it out. That's how you invite somebody into the fold, into the fellowship. That's how you do it. So when we pray, when we're disciples, when we worship, and when we invite people to who God is, fellowship is what happens. That is true fellowship. When we use the whole hand of ministry, fellowship happens. Jesus is in the midst, and lives are changed. Because the Bible says, where two or more gathered, there am also in the midst. So when two or more gathered, prayer, discipleship, worship, and evangelism should be taking place every single time. In that case, then comes fellowship. My question to you is, when's the last time you fellowshipped with someone? Not just at church. Have you fellowshipped with someone at work? When I'm retired, have you fellowshipped with somebody at the grocery store, the gas station? The AT&T man on the phone, she keeps screaming at about getting it wrong. Have you fellowship with him? Cox keeps calling my house, trying to get us to come back to them because we switched to AT&T internet. They don't want to let us go. Now, obviously, I left Cox. They too broke. They too much. I'm going to go broke. But you act like Cox Communications. Don't let somebody go. Don't take no for an answer. I'm not saying pester them. I'm saying that to stress them out. But say, okay, today's no. We'll see about next week. We'll see 2 months from now. So I'm going to keep loving you. I'm going to keep showing you mercy and grace. I'm going to keep pointing you towards Jesus. And eventually, my prayer is, if not with me, it's with somebody. You're going to get into the fold somewhere. You're going to get to a fellowship somewhere. So my challenge to you is, next time we here at New Joy Fellowship say, hey, we're going to have a meal. Maybe next Sunday. Maybe. It's fifth Sunday. Could be. Just saying. Maybe. Could be. Think about it. Pray about it. We'll see what Jesus say. We'll see what Jesus say. We're going to pray about it. But whenever that is, I challenge you to fellowship. Not just here, but where you're at. Hey, my church, this Sunday, we're going to have some food. It's going to be a powerful message. The praise team is going to sing. There's stuff for the kids, stuff for the youth. Come on out. You get a free meal, if nothing else. Why not? Come on out. Are you going? Oh, I'm definitely going to be there. I said free food. I'm there. I'm going to be there. Are you going to be there? Will you come with me? And when they come, maybe they don't come with you. Maybe somebody comes in here randomly. We don't know them at all. Well, good morning. Do you have somebody to sit with yet? You don't? Come sit with my family. Come sit with me. We sit right here. You know, you can have the seat right here. We'll call it the seat of honor. You sit there and we'll fellowship together. You got anybody to eat with? Come over and eat with us. We'll fellowship together. I want to pray for you. We'll disciple each other. We'll worship together. And then we'll pray out. Come on. Come on. You know that song, What a God. We were in our ministers meeting, and I asked the ministers that verse that says, if one word is the only thing you speak, then I've heard it all. I said, what word would that be, do you guys think? Just because I was curious. Love and come were the two that kept coming up. And one more I thought about, I think come is the one that God would speak if he only spoke one word. He would just say come. You're going to find love, mercy, grace, all that, but you won't find it till you come. I can speak love to you, but you will not know what love is because you won't experience it until you come. So come. That's what fellowship is. You're inviting somebody to just come and experience. And when they come here, we pray, disciple, worship, and evangelize. And fellowship will happen every single time. Where you're at your job, at your extracurricular, wherever you're at, you pray, disciple, worship, and evangelize, and fellowship will happen right where you're at. But it won't happen until you do it. It also won't happen until you yourself realize that you need Jesus. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. We and everybody in this world needs Jesus for everything. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. You know what the song said? And we are looking out for our family, the family of God, the body of Christ. There's another song out there that I love so much. These words. It says, the devil can't have me or my family. This is an eviction notice to the enemy. The chain breaker's in the room, and there's no telling what he's going to do. So the devil can't have me or my family. An eviction notice is right now posted for the enemy. By the way, that notice doesn't say 30 days. It says right now. There's no warning for you, enemy. You're evicted right now. Don't worry about your things. I'll throw them out with you. Lust, envy, deceit, and I'll go with you. Okay, don't worry about packing it up. I'll just throw it out on the front lawn. Come back and get it if you want to, but don't bring it back in my house. Don't bring it back to my family. That movie, Sinners, Michael B. Jordan, it's a vital part in the movie that you miss if you don't really pay attention. But when these people get bit by this vampire, they become evil. And when they become evil, they have to ask to come back inside the house. They can't get bit inside the house, but outside the house, they can get bit. And this one guy, Cornbread, who's a bigger guy, gets bit. And he walks up to the door, and he says, why aren't y'all going to let me in? And they said, you've been going in and out here all day. Why do you need an invitation to come in now? Well, because it's polite. And they said, just admit it. You're dead. You've been bit. You got the infection. Evil is inside of you. You need me to invite you in. Don't invite evil into your house. Don't invite evil into your fellowship. We pray for those who are hurting and even filled with evil. We don't invite them into the fellowship. What I mean by that is we don't invite them into the fellowship of God. God will take care of them. He'll clean them up. But don't invite evil things into the fellowship. Have you admitted to yourself you're a sinner? Have you believed that Jesus Christ's sacrifices on the cross were enough to save you from the consequences of your sin, which is death? Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? If you've done these things, the Bible says you have been saved. You walk in rightness with Jesus. You are in fellowship with Christ. If you've not done these things, you're outside the fellowship. You are cold coal looking at the hot coals from the outside. This is a hot coal inviting you in. Hot coal saying, hey, get into here. Get in here and get with us. Get stirred up. Maybe you have given your life to Jesus Christ, but you have stepped away from the fellowship. You have been in church. You have been around believers. You haven't been in Bible study. You haven't been in your word. You haven't been praying to God. You've been outside the fellowship. Hot coal saying, hey, come on back in. I don't care what you've been through, what you've gone through, what you've done. Get back in here. Come. Let's get warm. Let's get hot together and be used of the Lord. Let's fellowship. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that we can commune, gather together, hear a word from you, Father God. My prayer is, Father, that we would take this word and let it not stop at these four walls. Let it not stop at the edge of the parking lot, at the four walls of our home. May we take this word out, Father God, and experience fellowship everywhere we're at. With believers, with non-believers, help us, Father God, have an attitude of fellowship. For those under the sound of my voice who have not given their life to you, who have not surrendered and asked for forgiveness for their sins, I'm praying a burden be put on their heart. Those who have given their life to you, but have fallen away from you, Father God, put a special burden on their heart to bring them back to the fold. For all of us, Father God, burden our hearts for your people. Help us to always be those who are seeking fellowship with believers and non-believers. And help us to point people to the throne. In your name I pray. Amen.